Welcome back to the Tan and J Man Show. I'm your host, Josh J Man Munt. Sitting next to me, Tanner T Dog Lee. It's been a minute since we've been on, and we are glad to be back. How are you doing out there, T Dog?
We're back. We're back. Like I was just telling you before we hit record, first episode we've done together since the night of the national championship game for college basketball. So it's,
yeah,
it's like I said, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been it's been exactly a month then. So it's we'll see if we remember how to do this. I'm sure you said you felt rusty on your show, your podcast last night.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes for us tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is episode 493. You think, take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, be off, come back, you'll be fine. I think everybody'd be surprised if you just take 1 week off.
Yeah.
And then get back into it. Just kind of, I don't know, just human nature kind of messes.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago was, I believe it was the first episode we've canceled completely.
I believe so. Yeah. We've moved days before in the 10 years of the show, but we've always found a day. But just due to scheduling conflicts, there was no way. And I tried to line up people. And this is a peek behind the curtain for all 10 and J-Man Show listeners and viewers. There's always so many people who know how to run this software that have filled in for us. So, and one of those guys being a good friend, Evan Webb, who hosted the show last week with my dad. So shout out to both guys for filling in. He knows how to run it due to his experience on the world renowned, as he likes to say, Boiler Breakdown podcast. My dad was willing to fill in 2 weeks ago, but he didn't know how to run things.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, once you do it once, kind of get the hang of it, but if you're going in fresh without any experience, it's kind of tough to do. So,
yeah, I was honestly, because it's been so long, I was nervous I was going to have to put a password in. And I was going to have to call you real quick because it was like 5:29. I'm like, oh, crap, I lost track of time. But luckily,
I was ready to send you the link if needed. Yeah. So that's all good.
It had kept me signed in. So luckily.
All good, man. All good. But happy to have you back. Happy to be back. Happy to be rolling here. I think I got a pretty good birdie or bogey question for you tonight. But like always, like I hope you didn't see it anywhere type of thing. Because we've had bad luck lately.
Yeah.
But it's an NFL-related question because we are going to be talking about the draft a little bit since we didn't get to share our opinions on the draft last week, which seems like it happened a long time ago. Instead of just 2 weeks ago.
And I'll be honest with you. I was pretty much just following the Dolphins picks. I wasn't really tuned to anything else.
I was right there with you with the Broncos, and then they traded back out of the second round to the third round, and they didn't even have that many picks. So,
yeah.
But since the year 2000, there have been three schools to have at least two quarterbacks start in the Super Bowl. Name those three schools.
Three schools have had two quarterbacks.
At least two quarterbacks.
Starting a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I have to do all the quarterbacks in my head here. No, that's a very good question. Hopefully, I did not see it. I will be honest with you there. I did not see it. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Also brought to you by Arlington Public House. I'd really need to update that banner to have them both for the sponsor reads. But upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. And I saw today they posted that with graduation season, high school graduation season, and college for that matter, upon us, if you're looking for the perfect space to host your open house, the Arlington Room is the ideal spot. Seats up to 70 guests. It's located in the heart of downtown Rochester. Extra parking available in the back. Easy, stress-free setup for your big day. Rental rates Tuesday through Thursday, $60 an hour. Friday and Saturday, $120 an hour. So dates are filling up fast. So if you want to reserve your spot, contact them at 574-223-7101. My family had an event in that room Friday night this past week, and I can say that that's a very nice room to host events on. We've done that a couple of times throughout the years. So,
when's the last graduation open house you've been to?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
My gosh.
We're of the age where we don't really know a ton of people that are graduating.
I got invited to one 2 years ago. ago, or maybe it was last year, but I had a conflict with a golf tournament and my wife went for the both of us. But one I've actually went to, I'd have to really think about that. I know it's been a long time.
I was thinking it had been longer for me, but then you said 2 years ago, my cousins 2 years ago, I went to that one. But like before that, I think it was like 2016, maybe. Yeah,
I think I was still living with my parents probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And before that, it was probably 2011 or something, because we just, yeah.
No, we're definitely at that age. You don't know.
Don't go to too
many unless they're close family friends or something.
Yeah.
You know, and I also want to mention the weekend special over the weekend at the Arlington Public House was honey lime soy glazed chicken. Tender, perfectly seared chicken tossed in a sweet and tangy honey lime soy glaze served over fluffy rice with fresh avocado.
Very nice.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So, all right. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We got MLB. I mean, we're only in the month of May. I feel like you don't really digest things until about 100 games in.
Yeah.
But Cubs are on a roll. Yankees are on a roll. Thought we'd hit on that. NBA playoffs. Round one is in the books. Pretty exciting round one, honestly.
I've watched more NBA playoffs. It's the Illini factor with the Timberwolves mainly is who I've been watching, but I've been following them more this year than I have in past years for whatever reason. I think we kind of have some new blood in there a little bit.
Yes.
Yes. As opposed to years past.
And then, of course, we're going to hit on the NFL draft a little bit. Kentucky Derby in the books. Sadly, I watched more of the coverage up to the race than I missed the race. I don't even remember why. It's funny how it has like 4 hours of pre-race coverage, then the race lasts like 2 minutes.
Yeah. I've been so kind of off the grid the past few weeks that I didn't even know the Kentucky Derby was being run until like an hour before, and I didn't even watch it. So
I didn't know till like Thursday last week when I think one of my Facebook friends was down at one of the other races during the week, held at Churchill Downs. I'm like, oh, it's Kentucky Derby week.
I always thought Churchill Downs was out in the middle of nowhere. It's like downtown Louisville. Like, it's right next to their football stadium there.
Yep. Drove past it before. So, would you ever go, given the chance to go?
I don't think I'd ever buy a ticket to it if, like, somebody invited me. I think, I'd go. I think it'd be kind of fun. I'd probably get kicked out for for dress code violation, but as you've seen before at two places, I've been refused
in your younger years. In your younger years,
yeah. I think I'd go. I don't know. I don't think I'd like to stand around for however many hours before the real race happens. But I think I'd go.
Yeah, I was trying to think like, where would the Kentucky Derby rank for you as far as one day sporting events you like to attend? So like right away in my head, the Masters. No, Masters is multi-day. Say World Series, multi, you know, like one day sporting events, which there aren't too many. Where would it rank for you?
Looking at it, I'd rather go to Kentucky Derby than like even the Indy 500, I think.
Okay.
So it'd be higher than any like race. As far as that goes, Super Bowl obviously would probably be number one. Then probably the college. I might choose the national title game for college basketball over the Super Bowl, too. I don't know why. I just love college basketball so much. And my team got close this year. My football team never gets close. So, obviously the national title game for college football as well. But it's hard to even say that because there's still a playoff heading into that. But it is a one day event, I guess.
But if you I was gonna say if you do that, then the Super Bowl technically you could
exactly
you, could, you know. But
the same. I would probably put it. I'm trying to think of other sporting events where it's just a one day or.
Well, you also already said no Indy 500, so that'd be no Daytona 500 for you.
None of those. And as you said, the Masters is a four-day event.
Right. There's not too many.
There's not too many that I'm all that interested in.
How about I'll count this as a solo day, even though it's not, the Wimbledon final.
Oh, that's a good one, too. That'd be fun.
Because I know that you got to play other matches to get up to it, but
it's still – but it's the same as, like – the Super Bowl or college basketball title game or football right. title game. You got to play, you know, multiple games to even get there. Could even say like the gold medal game in the Olympics for basketball sure. or something like that. That could count. I'd rank it solidly fourth.
Would you rather go to a Kentucky Derby or MLB All-Star game?
Oh, MLB All-Star game every day of the week.
That's another one. You know, any of the All-Star games technically are one-day events.
Home run derby, I think, would be a blast.
Yeah.
To go to. I haven't watched a home run derby in a while, though.
It's really lost its luster.
Yeah, kind of like the NBA All-Star weekend festivities, too. And the NFL, for that matter. I don't know of anyone that really watches the NFL stuff anymore, or NBA, or MLB, any of that stuff.
Nope.
It's watered down.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, it was just something that came to my head today. And, yeah, probably like you. Like, I don't know, I might buy a cheap ticket because I think you can get in pretty cheaply. Right. If you don't care about, like, really where you sit or stand type thing.
It would be fun because you do have a pretty high probability of bumping into somebody important, somebody True. Famous. Now, of course, I'm sure there's levels to the seating there where you get the super rich, famous people. Have their own box or whatever, and then you have obviously general admission. Yeah, but still, you might be able to bump shoulders, rub shoulders,
rub shoulders, bump shoulders.
Yeah,
run somebody over, whatever you want to do. But yeah, it's I know quite a few people who've went before and said it was fun. You know, to go one time. I don't know too many people who've went multiple times, but yeah. With all that said, what do you want to begin with tonight? NFL, MLB, NBA, it's your call.
It's your call. I'm leaving it up to you tonight. You're the host tonight.
Well, let's go ahead and talk NFL because since it is probably the most aging subject we'll talk about since it has been 2 weeks since the NFL draft was completed. This was the least I've ever been locked into a draft. I didn't even, I said I was going to come out with my mock draft, my one round, like I always do every year. Didn't get it done this year. So I apologize to everybody. That was all like five of you that were looking forward to that. I meant to get it done and it just, I knew I was going on vacation and I just didn't get it done. That's on me. But I think there was no suspicion as to who was going number one for the last few months. Yeah. We knew Fernando Mendoza from Indiana was going number one to the Raiders. After that, there was some guessing. And I just think it was like this was a depth draft to where there's a lot of depth in the draft. Mm-hmm. But according to a lot of draft experts, there was only like 18 and 19 like bona fide first round locked guys.
Right. This has been Mendoza going number one. We knew that since about January. We didn't think there was any shot anyone else would go number one, which some years are kind of like that. Other years, you don't really know until maybe a few days before. Then it kind of gets leaked out.
I guess that 1% in the back of my mind is like, it is the Raiders.
Exactly. The Raiders. Yeah, that did bring some pause. There, but
if Al was still alive, looking at 40 times, he's the fastest.
who's the fastest guy out here? But no, I think he'll be he's an interesting fit there.
Yes.
He doesn't seem like a Raider. He
doesn't seem like a Vegas guy.
that either. But they've always had that reputation of being a super dirty sort of, and he's just not that guy. He's even said like, I'm probably not going to go to the White House with the Hoosiers because I don't want to miss practice sort of deal, which is not something you'd ever really hear a Raider say.
No.
It is interesting there after all the years of terrible quarterbacks where you have Bus like Jamarcus Russell who's getting arrested and with purple drink and all that sort of stuff. And now you have Kirk Cousins and Fernando Mendoza, two of like the I don't even know what to call them, like two of the most nerdy quarterbacks.
There won't be too many four-letter words thrown around in that quarterback room by either one of those guys.
Probably not too many. They're very similar. Honestly.
They are.
I think they play similar too, coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
If Fernando's career ends up like Kirk, that's pretty dang good.
Sure.
Obviously, you want a Super Bowl. You know, superstar, Super Bowl winning superstar there. But how often does that happen? Honestly, you got to get lucky. But I think he'll be good there and at least gives them a classier face than what they've had going Pac 40 years, really.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. And, you know, I was trying to think of, like, winners and losers in my head. Well, the teams that are picking up front always look like winners, usually, because sure. they get a lot of picks. Yeah. They come away with the best players. Like, I thought the Jets had a pretty good draft, but they were picking yeah. up front.
And, again, just like the Raiders, a little bit, okay, they're the Jets. They're the Jets.
Right. So, right. And, you know, there's so many of these we got. I thought the Browns had a good draft, but how many times have we said that over the
exactly.
years?
Exactly.
Countless.
I thought two teams that stand out as in the first round for me as having picks that kind of raise eyebrows a little bit. Number one, Arizona Cardinals. You have a multitude of needs everywhere. Jeremiah Love, heck of a football player. I think he's going to be an absolute stud at
probably the best overall football player that was probably in the draft.
Still, he's a running back, and that
right.
picking him third overall when you're a team that needs a quarterback, yep. although it was a bad quarterback class.
It was.
It seems like they could have gone a different direction.
Yeah.
And the team that I thought absolutely screwed up was the LA Rams taking yeah. Ty Simpson. I mean, you have a nearly 40-year-old Matt Stafford, might have, you know, the last dance here this year or next year. You had a chance to go get a weapon for him or shore up your defense or something. And now you have a guy that's not even going to play.
Right.
That can't help the team at all. Sean McVay was visibly upset after the pick and during the press conference. And then it comes out afterwards that Les Snead and Simpson's dad are very good buddies, which also almost I don't even know what to call it, but it's just not even a good look to take him, let alone take him in the middle of the first round when you could have probably had him at the end of the first round or even in the second round at that point. I don't know what team's going to take a quarterback that was picking the final 10 picks or so. So that was really the team. The Cardinals can get away with it because, yep. again, they have needs everywhere, and Jeremiah Love's a heck of a football player. I've never been impressed with Ty Simpson, and then to go to a Super Bowl contending team. Who did they trade up for him there, or did they have
that pick? Yeah, they didn't have a first-round pick.
Traded up for
that.
They
always trade out of the first round.
So, yeah, it was not a good look.
I thought the Cowboys had a good draft. Said that a lot in the past. I mean, drafting well is not their problem, though.
No.
I mean, Ohio State, I mean, how many first-round picks did they have? My yeah. goodness. Every other pick, it seemed like, was Ohio State guys. And saying in numbers, Indiana had eight guys selected. That was more than they've had in, like, the last 20 years combined.
Combined, yeah. yeah.
So, and as they should. I mean, they're the national champions, you know. But yeah, I in looking as a Bronco fan, looking at their draft, like I said, they didn't pick till the third round.
All right.
Then they got defensive tackle from Texas A&M that honestly I had not heard of before they picked. I did hear of their fourth round pick, Jonah Coleman, running back from Washington, because I watched a lot of the Big Ten. And you know, then they got some O-line depth. Also in the what round was that? The fourth round. Boise State. I got tight end in the fifth round. I was hoping they'd go tight end early. I wanted Max Clair, old Purdue. And he went to the Rams the pick before. The Broncos were coming up in the second round. Then they traded out, which tells me they might have had their sights on him, which I thought going in the second round was pretty good for him, considering that Ohio State didn't use him that much.
Yeah.
And then they got an Illini in the seventh round, Miles Scott.
Oh, safety. Yeah. Safety, yeah.
And then they got a tight end from Utah, seventh round. And then they ended up having Mr. Irrelevant because they had some trades. So they were supposed to have one seventh round pick. They ended up with three, Red Murdoch from Buffalo. So nothing like I'm not doing flips or anything over, but they didn't need to do a ton in the draft with how their roster's configured right now. So I'm fine with them.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you trade your first round pick for Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle is a better player than what you're going to get at 30.
Exactly.
Yeah. Couple years ago, Dolphins only had four picks, including their first being in the third round. They all ended up stinking, but it really hampered my draft watching experience that year, which kind of sucked. But this year, Dolphins had the most picks of any team within the top 100 picks. They're going for a clear identity. They want to be tough. I mean, they've been soft for years. They want to be big and tough, and I thought they did that, especially with their first two picks. Caden Proctor sounds like he's going to start at left guard, and then defensive back Chris Johnson. But then love their second-round pick, linebacker Jacob Rodriguez. He'll probably be a plug-and-play starter game one. And then they filled out their receiving core, stuff like that. Got some offensive line depth, got an edge rusher from Texas. But it's one of those things, you know, 5 years ago even, I'm like, oh, I love the Dolphins draft. I've never disliked a Dolphins draft.
Right, right.
Now it's like my viewpoint is nobody knows anything. Ask me in 3 years, even 2 years, if it was a good draft or not. So we'll see how it goes.
Who is the Dolphins backup quarterback?
It is Quinn Ewers.
Oh yeah, okay.
I think Zach Wilson might still be under contract too.
I thought he signed somewhere else.
Maybe he did. Maybe it was just a 1 year deal. I don't remember.
I thought he signed somewhere else.
They did sign Mark Gronoski from Iowa as an undrafted free agent, but I can't imagine a scenario where he makes it. If he makes the team, something went really wrong.
But I guess like going into this season with the Dolphins, you probably have as low as expectations as maybe you ever have, which might be enjoying enjoyment for you for 1 year.
I've never looked forward to a Dolphins season more than I have right now because, well, for one, you have a new GM and all that, new head coach, which also gives some excitement. But again, I'm expecting them to be the worst team in the league, which who knows if they will be or not. They might not even be the worst team in their own division. Jets might still be worse. It's just lower expectations means I can just watch for fun. And if they suck, who cares? If they're good, awesome, you know?
Yep.
It's a really good place to be, honestly, for me, after having, you know, my college basketball team go to the Final Four, my baseball team coming off a season where they make the playoffs and they look pretty good so far this year, and heading into a college basketball season next year where I'm, you know, already thinking, you know, Final Four or bust at this point. So it'll be kind of nice to have an easier fall for me, football-wise. Hopefully Cubs will be very good and give me all the stress. I don't need it from both ways. I can handle Cubs stress. I don't want Cubs and Dolphins stress.
Yeah. Zach Wilson is a member of the Saints now.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. I remember that now.
Yep. Any other thoughts on the draft? I don't really have much.
I don't have any thoughts, but my pick six. Good Lord.
My dad did the same thing.
My blind ranking is NFL draft related. And it's Denver Broncos draft.
All right.
Unrelated. So I have, you've been a Broncos fan since about what? 2009-ish.
2009. Yep.
So I'm looking at their first round picks. They hit on some guys for sure.
They whiffed on some too.
And they've also whiffed. But man, you also have some elite level players in here and also some absolute busts. So I'm taking five guys here that I would consider a bust. Okay. Or guys that didn't pan out like maybe you thought they would. And some of those guys were taken real late in the first round.
Sure.
Okay. But starting with, let's start with Shane Ray.
Shane Ray, yeah. I remember being thrilled when the Broncos got him in 2016 because he fell. Yeah. He had the marijuana thing come up, and he was supposed to be borderline top 10 pick. He fell clear to, I don't know what, that would have been after the Super Bowl, so they're picking late in the first round.
23rd.
And then he just never – he had some injury problems and just never became the player everybody thought he was going to. Even after he left Denver, he went to Baltimore, and I think he played one more year, maybe one or two more years. Yeah. Highlight for me, for Shane Ray, he had a scoop and score sack against Andrew Luck, and I believe it was that year to clinch a game against the Colts in Denver. Yeah. But I'm trying to think in my head. I know some others. I'm going to put Shane at 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Safe.
Noah Fant.
Yeah, I was pumped to get this guy out of Iowa. Watched him a lot in Big Ten. Remember him torching Purdue. Fast tight end. Could catch. Couldn't block. You knew what you were getting with him. He was a receiving tight end only. Never panned out in Denver at all. Went to Seattle. Didn't pan out. I think he was a Bengal last year. Still in the league.
Yeah, he's bouncing around.
He was part of the Russell Wilson trade.
I do remember that.
I liked Shane Ray better than him, so I'm going to put him at 4.
All right. Let's go with Sylvester Williams.
I knew Sly was coming up. Honestly, I wasn't thrilled with the pick because defensive tackle late in the first round.
Boring pick.
That was the Manning era. Like, don't need a whole lot. Yeah. But he had a fine career. He went to Tennessee on a bigger money contract and then never really panned out there. I'm going to put him at 2.
All right. Robert Ayers
from Tennessee. okay player, shouldn't have been a first round pick. Looking back on it, I'm hoping, I know you well enough to know who you're going to go with at number five, as of the fifth. So I'm going to put Robert Ayers at number one.
All right. Should I go this guy or should I go another guy? Paxton Lynch. I'll throw you a bone.
And I'll be honest, I was more excited about Paxton than any. No, I thought it was going to be Paxton. I thought it was either Paxton or Garrett Bowles.
Garrett Bowles
you were with me for both of them, and how ticked I was at Garrett Bowles' pick, and how pumped I was at the Paxton Lynch pick.
There was a fist pump in my little apartment in Rochester for the.
I was excited. I'm like, all right, we got this guy. He's athletic, big guy from Memphis, can sling it. Didn't realize he was an idiot. When he came to the football IQ, didn't want to study the playbook, tried to study Madden, thought that was enough. I was in Denver for his first career start against the Falcons in 2016. Did not go well. I think he only started five games, if I'm not mistaken, in his career. I even had a Paxton Lynch jersey. I was pumped for the guy. I still have it. I wish it was in arm reach. I still have the Sports Illustrated cover. They did like four of them after the draft. He was one of the guys. Biggest first round bust since I've been a Bronco fan.
He was a guy that was like thought of as potential number one overall pick, and you're getting him at 26 or whatever he went.
Yep.
And absolutely. But I will also never forget when I saw you wearing that Paxton Lynch jersey for the first time. I think we were walking into Wings etc. and you took your coat off. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep. What an idiot. But that's not still in my collection over here in my closet. That thing's long gone. Went to Goodwill, somebody else's. One man's trash is another man's treasure, I guess, sort of thing. But he bounced around every single football league you can think of.
Yeah.
XFL, UFL, CFL. He was in an arena league this past year in Colorado and tore his ACL. The guy obviously loves to play football.
Yeah.
Just not very good.
Yeah, I'm sure his Wonderlic score was very low.
It was, the lowest for a QB ever.
Lamar Jackson's was pretty low too, but he ends up coming multi-time MVP. But
yeah, he can get away with it. But Paxt wasn't a good one, but they've hit on some too over the years, like you said. So, but that was a good list. I like that. That takes me down memory lane a little bit, there. So I'm going to have to do one of those with you for the Dolphins one of these days. I might have. There's so many of these.
Too many guys to pick from for that one.
Jake Long. Actually, he wasn't too bad when he was healthy.
He was a Hall of Fame level player.
Yeah, he was healthy. I can't remember his first name. Jordan, the linebacker.
Deion Jordan. He would have been number five for sure.
There you go. But that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Performer Prince Hue Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026, Performer Prince Hue Promo Group is over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Do you want to get educated?
I need it. I need it.
All right. On this day in 1869, the Cincinnati Red Stockings, now the Cincinnati Reds, play their first official baseball game where they defeated the Great Western Baseball Club 45-9.
Wow.
That
game probably lasted a while with 45 runs.
The first baseball you should know this one for one. 1871, first baseball league game in the National Association of Baseball Players. Fort Wayne beat Cleveland 2-0.
I had a feeling when you say you should know this one, it's going to be something Fort Wayne related, but I did not know that one, so I'm getting educated today.
Yeah. 23rd Kentucky Derby was held on this day in 1897. So that's, they started 97 minus 23 is what? 74, 1874. They've been doing the Kentucky Derby. On this day in, what does that mean? 1943, National League Commissioner Ford Frick demonstrates revised Balata ball to reporters, but bouncing it on his office carpet, ball proves to be 50% livelier than the previous ball was. So must have started hitting homers in the 40s.
It was like one of those sponge balls we played minor league and T-ball with.
That's what I was thinking. Those things could fly.
Yeah, they could.
On this day in 1966, San Francisco Giants' Willie Mays hit his 512th career homer, which broke Mellott's 29-year-old National League record.
I could not have told you Mellott had an NL record before Willie Mays.
Couldn't either.
But Hall of Famer.
Yeah. On this day, a lot of Kentucky Derbies, as you can imagine.
Nah, I wouldn't be good at that.
1975 MLB Houston Astros' Bob Watson scored baseball's 1,000,000th run of all time.
That's pretty cool. Even if I don't know how good of a career Bob Watson had, but even if he didn't have a great career, he always has that.
Yep. Yeah. On this day in 1980, White Sox first baseman Mike Squires catches the final inning of an 11-1 loss to the Brewers, who became the first lefty to catch since 1958.
Holy cow.
Wow. I don't think we've seen a lefty catcher. I just saw it the other day. I think it was 1989 was the last time a left-handed player had caught in a major
really game. Dumb question. Why?
That's a really good question that I don't know the answer to. I think it has something to do. I honestly don't know. I was about to attempt to BS something, but yeah, I'm just going to say no. Yeah, I should have.
Did you ever want to catch in your playing days?
Heck no. Heck no. I bumps and bruises. I'd have to squat.
The cramping is what I'm thinking.
Now they do it right. Every catcher has like one knee in the dirt. I could do that one, but back in the day, you're like squatting the whole time. I couldn't do that. I could move very. You know me. I can't move very fast.
Did you see that Barstool bit they had Schwarber on not too long ago, and they were asking about his catching days. And I'll keep it G-rated for the pod, but they were talking about passing gas as a catcher. And what you do, since the umpire's right behind you, go check it out. It was hilarious.
Well, Schwarber was on Anthony Rizzo's new podcast, The Lovable Reunion. Him and Ross are doing a 10-year reunion where they're interviewing all the guys. So I've been listening to that pretty religiously. And they had Schwarber on, and he was talking how literally the first time he caught for the Cubs, Brandon Crawford, who was a shortstop for the Giants, he had in the scouting report, it was literally when in doubt, spin it. So it meant when in doubt, if you don't know what to call, throw a breaking ball or something. So he gets to a 3-2 count. He's like, the scouting report says to spin it, but I'm scared of walking him. So he calls a fastball instead of just spinning it. Hits a 400-foot homer, and he comes back to the dugout, and Mike Borzello just rips into him in front of the entire team. And David Ross came up to him afterwards and goes, you'll probably never do that again, will you? Like, nope. Nope. Never will. On this day in, let's see. Now we're in the 90s. Not great. On this day in 2002, Barry Bonds hit his 400th homer as a San Francisco Giant.
Yep.
He became the first player ever to hit 400 homers for one team and 100 with another team.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. On this day in 2015, who won the NBA MVP?
Oh, my gosh. 2015. Steph Curry?
It was Steph Curry. Good call.
That's always a good guess.
Yeah.
Not when he entered the league, really.
And that is going to do it for On This Day this week.
We're pretty solid. On This Day is brought to you by, like it is every, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing. Let's hit on NBA real fast here. The playoffs, like I said, one round in the books. Some surprising results. Denver Nuggets, the 3 seed, go down to the 6 seed Minnesota Timberwolves without the Ant-Man for the last part of the series. We saw the 76ers take down the Boston Celtics.
Come back from three games to one, too.
3 games to 1, and it hasn't been a good quarter for Boston sports fans. And I think it's hilarious.
No. Well, they did go to a Super Bowl.
They got smacked.
They did get smacked. But,
and then the Red Sox are awful.
The Bruins, yeah.
I think, lost their series to the Sabres, I think. And then now the Celtics. So.
Yeah. Pistons came back from 3 games to 1. Down where they were down sizable in game 6 against Atlanta, and Atlanta made 1 field goal from the 4-minute mark of the third quarter on.
You mean you said Atlanta. Pistons played Orlando.
That's what I meant, Orlando.
Okay.
Hawks got absolutely murdered. Yeah, that's where I was going with it.
51-19 at one time.
Yeah, it was 51 points I think they ended up winning by. the Knicks did against the Hawks. The Hawks were in my brain. That's why I said the Hawks.
That was my J-Man's or Tanner's book at prediction when it was my dad and I. I said the Hawks would win that series. Nope.
Yeah. Spurs handled Portland pretty well. Lakers handled Houston surprisingly well.
4 games, too.
I think a lot of people were. In fact, I think the Lakers were underdog in every single one of those 6 games.
Well, and the Thunder haven't played like in a month because they swept the Suns forever ago.
The Thunder play a horrible brand of basketball. It's just get to the free throw line. It's exhausting.
It sucks knowing that them and the Spurs, who I don't really have a problem with Spurs, even though Wimby's kind of a baby a little bit, attention guy, you know, those two are going to dominate the West for a long time.
Yeah. Hopefully, well, I guess it won't really shake things up, I guess, but if they are to add expansion teams and maybe some Western Conference teams come to the East, I guess it won't really affect Oklahoma.
Grizzly and Timberwolves.
Yeah, but those aren't. Minnesota's good, I guess. Yeah, but
Memphis kind of already ruined their window.
I've always kind of liked San Antonio because I was always a big Tim Duncan fan, Manu fan as well, and now it's kind of fun after, you know, 5 years of being bad that they're back.
Yeah.
With a good young core. But, as I said, I've been following the Minnesota Timberwolves just because the Illini. You have Io DeSumo and Terrence Shannon. Io had one of the best playoff games in history for a guy off the bench the other night, 43 points. So that was really fun, especially without Ant. And then he was hurt for game 6, and Shannon had to start. He had 24 points for him. So they've gained a lot of Illini fans over the past
couple weeks. And not too far away.
Yeah, not too far away.
Looking ahead, the matchups. We got Philadelphia and New York. Who do you like to win? Because I don't know about you, I don't like either team.
No. Give me the Knicks. Embiid has never been to a conference finals, and I imagine that's going to continue.
He's darn good when he plays. You don't know if he's going to play or not.
He gets hurt a lot. Credit them for – I mean – did you see the starting lineup for Boston in game 7?
Yeah.
Luka Garza was in it. Luka Garza, obviously, we know him as the Iowa Luka Garza.
Right.
Unbelievable. But NBA Luka Garza started. Jason Tatum sat out because he was hurt.
You better be really hurt if you're sitting out of game 7.
That's what I say. Give me the Knicks in 5.
I like the Knicks in 6. I'm with you there. I hope actually Philadelphia wins, even though I don't really like them. I don't like the Knicks. Yeah. Cavaliers, Pistons. Whoever wins this, I'm rooting for to win the East. Well, heck, I'm rooting for the Pistons to win it all because that was one of my bold predictions for 2026.
Oh, yes, it was. Give me the Pistons. I mean, they got their scare from Orlando.
Yeah.
Down 3-1, but then fought back and were able to clinch. I think this could be the series of the postseason to date. Two teams that are real close to each other for one.
Yep.
So travel won't be too big of an issue for either. But give me Detroit.
Detroit basketball. I like Detroit in 7. James Harden be on your team. I just can't say you're getting to the finals. Would you?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So in the West, Timberwolves and Spurs.
Give me San Antonio. I think they're the better team. It sounds like they said Ant was questionable for tonight. But I also read it probably be closer to game 3 or 4 before he can play. Obviously, Dante DiVincenzo blew out his Achilles, which has become a epidemic in the NBA with players tearing their Achilles. I don't know what that's about, but
especially players wearing number zero, as our good friend Evan Webb pointed out last week.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I think San Antonio wins. Let's say I'll give it six games.
I think San Antonio sweeps them four games. So
Rudy Gobert did as good of a job on Nikola Jokic as anyone has this year.
Yeah, he always plays some tough.
I think it was game three. Jokic was 10 of 26 from the floor. The next game, he was right around 10 of 26 again. So Gobert, as I used to call him on 2K.
Yeah, you did.
The Jokic stopper. It's getting time where the Nuggets need to make some decisions, because I don't think the supporting cast is good enough anymore.
Nope.
And they're oft injured as well. But like Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, they're older now, about 30-ish, and they're just not getting it done.
Yeah, I think their transfer window is closed. Probably closed. I think. Yeah. So I think they are what's happened to the Bucks a couple years ago is happening in Denver.
And who knows if Jokic is that type of guy to be like, I want out to go.
Says he wants to stay, but
he doesn't seem like the type. Giannis the same way too. He's been saying he wants to stay, and now it looks like they're probably forced to trade him at this point. And maybe that time's coming for
Jokic. Lakers and Thunder.
Give me Thunder. They still say Luka Doncic hasn't even started running yet. So he's probably not even going to play at all. I have Thunder in five, probably.
Yep. I'm going Thunder five. I think LA steals one game, but it is pretty impressive what the Lakers have done without not only Luka, but some of their other guys who have been injured.
It's been impressive what LeBron's been able to do at 40, 41 years old. It's insane.
Dude's an absolute freak. And I'll even give credit to his son. I didn't think he'd be a contributor, and he's playing some minutes in the playoffs. So, I mean, he's still not that good, but hey, you're playing in the playoffs. That's a lot more than I thought you ever do. So.
It was cool to see LeBron throw Bronny a noop the other day. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was. So, we'll keep tabs on the NBA and keep reporting on it, because it won't be over for another month and a half.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute before that thing's over. That's my biggest gripe with the NBA is how long the postseason is and how long the regular season is.
Yep. NHL is the same thing. Yeah. So
it seems like the NHL playoffs have been going for over a month now.
And they're only in the second round.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Because you got some series, a lot of them went 6-7 games.
Yeah.
And then some went 4, like the Avalanche Kings. So
you see more upsets in the NHL, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
A lot of times I would argue the best team doesn't win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But, whereas the NBA is probably more times than not.
Usually.
The best team wins it all.
Baseball is kind of a crapshoot. And I think obviously the NFL is kind of a crapshoot too.
Yep.
Although the number one seed in the NFC did win it this year. But
That's true. Yeah. So. And baseball, a lot of interesting things going on. Got some interesting division leaders. Breaking it down real quick. Yankees are winning the East with a record of AL East, I should say, with a record 23-11. Rays 21-12.
Right, yeah, they've played pretty well. I was surprised.
Including 11-4 at the Trop.
Yeah. Two of those losses are to the Cubs, too.
Yeah. Blue Jays 16-18, Orioles 15-19, and the Red Sox 13-21, and fired their manager already.
Yeah. Craig Breslow, their president of baseball ops, who came over from the Cubs. He'd never run his own department, and they made him president of baseball ops. He came in. This is his third year, I think, now. They hate him there now because Josh Beckett had a funny quote that you can go look. I'm not going to say it on air. I'll tell Tanner off the air unless he's seen it already.
I have not.
But it's pretty funny. It's not appropriate to be told on TV. But they fired everyone, essentially. They fired, obviously, Alex Rios. Not Alex Rios. Alex Cora. Alex Rios. I haven't heard that name in a decade.
Blue Jay.
Yeah, former Blue Jay, White Sox. Good Lord, Josh. And then they fired their hitting coach, all of that. So it's getting ugly there.
Yep.
And it's an owner that's crying poor too. They aren't spending money like they have, and it's getting ugly. But
The AL overall is just not very good right
it's
now.
It's not very good.
American League Central, the Guardians are winning with a record of 18-17. Actually, they're tied with the Tigers, 18-17. But I saw the Tigers stub pitchers out.
Yeah, Skubal. He got banged up in his start against Atlanta over the weekend, or maybe it was last week, and he stayed in. And now he somehow convinced him to stay in. And now he's probably going to be out 2 to 3 months because he's having surgery on loose bodies in his elbow. And he's an impending free agent too, who was probably gonna, who's probably looking at $400 million at least this offseason. So not good.
The White Sox hanging in there a game and a half behind at 16-18. The Royals are 15-19 and the Twins 15-20. So anybody's, it's three games separate last place and first place.
White Sox, man, they have that Japanese guy, Murakami. Is that his name?
Yeah, 13 homers.
Yeah, the Southside Samurai is what they've been calling
him. Oh, boy.
The league's going to catch up to him eventually, and it's going to look ugly. But right now, he's hitting homers. He has, I think I saw 27 hits. He has 13 homers and 14 singles.
Yep. I've seen White Sox fans say strikes out, hits homer almost every time.
Then you can do that for a month or two, but then the league's going to catch up, and you got to adjust fast or you're done. So
you might not agree with this, but I'll say they deserve to have something to be excited about.
Yeah. No. Disagree with that.
And in the American League West, the Sacramento, if you want to call them, Athletics, are leading right now 18-16. The Rangers are 16-18. The Mariners are 16-19. Astros are 14-21. And the Angels are just pathetic, 13-22.
Yeah, the Astros are done. They can't pitch anymore. They're old. The Mariners have been very disappointed. The A's, though, they have good young core there. And Nick Kurtz for them, first baseman, had an awesome rookie year, over 30 homers. He had a streak of where he had walked in over 20 straight games, which I think he even passed Barry Bonds for, like, the longest streak of his career, which is crazy that, for one, Bonds only walked 20 straight games once or twice or something like that. He might have done it multiple times, but that was his longest streak. The American League stinks. There's more teams in the NL Central over 500 than there are in the American League total. So,
Which NL Central will be the last division we hit on here in the NL. NL East, my favorite storyline in all baseball right now. You got the Braves 25-10, 8.5 game lead already in this division. I mean, I know it's May 4th, but I almost want to wave the white flag in the division almost.
Yeah, good for the Braves after having a very disappointing year last year. They've really bounced back. Phillies are old, and they had a 9-game losing streak at one time. Mets are just bad.
That's my favorite storyline of baseball.
They'd lost. I think their streak hit 12 in a row, didn't it?
It did. They're 12-22.
Yeah, I'm surprised their manager has survived, because the Phillies manager did not. He got fired.
They're 14-12, Nationals 16-19, and Marlins 16-18.
Yeah, Marlins are an interesting one. I think I had that in my preview that I thought they could be better, because they pitch really well. They have a good young core there. So, Braves 8.5 game lead already. That's wild.
NL West looks like it's going to be a 2-horse race. You got the Dodgers 21-13, Padres right behind them at 20-13. Diamondbacks, I guess, are only 4.5 out, but they're 16-17. Rockies somehow aren't in last at 14-21. That's the Giants at 13-21.
Yeah, obviously the Dodgers will win that division going away. Padres, I think, are a very good team as well. I think the Diamondbacks are solid. They've struggled pitching so far, but I think they have the talent there to be a playoff contending team. Rockies stink, but they are better than the Giants. The Giants cannot score. They are dead last in about every offensive category. It's getting very early there already for Tony Vitello, their manager, who came over from University of Tennessee. And he's kind of, I think he's kind of settled in a little bit, but the first week he was treating it like it was college baseball again, where he's saying, like, after a loss, he's like, we really got to find a way to win tomorrow, that sort of stuff. When you have a 162 game season, you can't be doing that, getting so high and so low after each win. They've kind of carried on his personality. They've been getting in some fights, which is kind of the Vitello personality of talking trash, although the Giants haven't really been able to back it up.
And then NL Central got a lot of good teams here. Cubs in the lead, 22-12. Reds at 20-14. Cardinals a surprising 20-14, in my opinion. Brewers 18-15. And the Pirates 19-16. Did you see what happened in the Reds-Pirates game on Saturday?
Yes, the Reds walked 7 straight batters, which is a major league record.
Tied an MLB record.
I don't know. The Pirates are kind of up and down. They've been look great, and then they get swept. Look great, and then they get swept. Reds had really kind of controlled the NL Central up until the past week or so, and the Cubs have just been on fire. Like, that's out of situation. They've won 15 of their last 18 games, which includes a 10-game win streak and a 5-game win streak. And they're on a current 5-game winning streak. And they've won 11 straight games at Wrigley for the first time since at least 2008. So they're playing a really good brand of baseball right now. They're playing great defense. They're hitting the ball at the ballpark. I think they were leading Major League Baseball in on-base percentage. They're second in walks. They're, I think, second in walk-to-strikeout ratio. They're just playing. They're playing very well. And that, I mean, that one time in April, they had 9 pitchers on the 40-man roster that were on the injured list at one point. They were winning games by 1 or 2 runs when you had your 4th best reliever is the guy who's having to pitch the 9th inning for a save opportunity. Now they're getting healthy as far as the bullpen goes. Daniel Palencia came back yesterday. I don't know how close Caleb Theobar is, but they got some other guys back as well. And the starting pitching, you lose, you know, your top starter, Cade Horton, to Tommy John surgery after a second start this year. So he's out for the year. Shota Imanaga steps up. He's been absolutely awesome so far this year. Matt Boyd hadn't been good, but he pitched fantastic with the wind blowing out yesterday. Colin Ray's really stepped in and had some solid outings. Jameson Taillon's been as steady as ever. Edward Cabrera, who pitches tonight, if they play tonight. The funny thing with tonight's game, it was originally scheduled for 6:40. There's rain in the forecast tonight, and so they moved it up to 6:10 to start it. They're on a rain delay now, so I don't know if they'll get it in tonight at all. But they do start a big 4-game set with the Reds tonight, who Reds are coming off getting swept where they got blown out.
Have any side action on that with any of your Red friends?
No, I've kind of stayed out of it. I'm pretty even keeled this year when it comes to the Cubs. Cause I mean, it's easy to do that when you're in a really good stretch. It's been really fun to watch them here. But I've just been kind of distracted, which is kind of nice as well, where if they do start talking trash, I don't really care. Cause, it is what it is. Yeah. It's a long season. It's May. Yep. So I'm not going to be declaring anyone a 100 game winner or World Series contender.
Well. And I know it's only May, but this tees it up for my title of tonight's episode. Can the Cubs win 100 plus games?
I mean, they won 90 last year, and you'd think they're better this year. I'm going to say no. I think you might see one, maybe two teams win 100. I don't think the Cubs' starting rotation is good enough to do it. Their offense absolutely is. They're going to have to be with Cade Horton going out in the trade market for sure for starting pitcher, especially with Justin Steele had a setback as well from Tommy John surgery last year. I thought maybe he could be activated around Memorial Day. Now it's probably looking closer to the All-Star break-ish or after the All-Star break, which, and again, you don't know what you're going to get from him because he hasn't pitched. And, you know, at that point, it'll be 15 months or 16 months since he pitched. But I'm going to say I think they're capable of it, but if I put a percentage chance they get there, I'm going to put it about 5% they get there. Uh-huh. I think they're the best team in the division, and hopefully it continues to play out that way.
Maybe my book it comes true that they win the National League. Well, not my book at my
maybe.
bold prediction.
Maybe. I mean, they do have the second best record in the National League, third best record in baseball right now. But again, only 44 games in. So
right.
Third of the season is done. That's about it.
Yeah. Just like a third of the year is done. The calendar year is done.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Speaking of book it, any book of predictions for you for the week?
I was thinking about that. I was going to do it during NBA and I forgot. So I'm going to have to go back to the NBA here. Let's see. What can I do? I think every better seed will win in this
series.
Yeah, we won't even know by next week. If that happens, unless they all sweep, but even if they all sweep, I think they'll probably.
Yeah, we can always revisit it though. We can revisit it. It's in the record books now. It's in the archives.
Yeah. Yeah. Knicks, Pistons, Spurs, Thunder all win. Yeah. So, but J-Man's Book of Predictions of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact us 219-869-4561.
And I think you kind of mentioned this earlier. If you were to pick any upsets in that series, due to you saying this series could be the best, I'm assuming you would take the Cavs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a 1-4, I think is what that is. We have a 1-4. I think the The Lakers is a 1-4-2 unless the Lakers were a 5. I think the Lakers were 4, though.
I think they were 4.
But again, without Luka Doncic, they're banged up. I just don't think they can do it. And then we have a – what's the other one? What's the Knicks? Is that a 3-7?
Were the Knicks a 3 or were they a 2? Or the Celtics were 2, weren't they?
Celtics were 2, so Knicks would be 3.
3-6. That'd be 3-6.
No, because the
– 2-seed played the 7.
Yeah. Yeah, which was the Celtics. They lost – or they lost.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Duh. Yeah,
3-7 and then 2-6.
2-6, yeah.
Yeah.
Numbers.
I know. I'm struggling with
them. Anything else baseball related that you want to hit on before we get to back to the movie question?
Not that I can think of. I may go look and see here real quick. Nothing really all that big. Anthony Volpe, who had been the Yankees starting shortstop for about 4 years now, who is much maligned because he was not very good for them. And for some reason, they loved him there, or the team loved him anyway. He was always below average hitter, below average defender, but it's something about being a Yankees shortstop. When you come through the farm system, you have this heightened sense of worth.
Some guy kind of made it that way.
Jeter kind of ruined it for everyone, but, he'd been hurt for the first part of the year, but they just optioned him down to AAA. Yep, so they're finally learning.
Yep. And rest in peace to John Sterling, who passed away.
Yes, passed away today. So
legendary voice there of the New York Yankees. One good story going on in baseball. I mean, his team stinks. Mike Trout has 10 home runs.
He's having a good start to the year. He could have been traded a long time ago if he wanted. So I think he's happy there.
Yep.
Which I can respect that.
Well, going back to the birdie or bogey question that we started the pod off with, since 2000, there have been 3 schools to have at least 2 quarterbacks start in a Super Bowl. Name those schools.
First one that popped in my head was Cal.
Cal is correct.
Yeah, with Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers.
You got it.
After that, I'd forgotten about the question, and so now I'm going to have to go through them.
That's why I gave you a few minutes.
And let's see here. This should have been a fairly easy question for me, and the Cal one I got right somehow. Going back, I think Jalen Hurts is the only Alabama. Is there an Oklahoma guy? I don't know if you are you counting Jalen Hurts as Alabama or Oklahoma? I don't think it matters for either. Peyton Manning was Tennessee. Tom Brady, Michigan. Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think there was another Miami, Ohio starting quarterback, was there? Flacco went to Delaware. I don't think there's another Delaware guy. This is going to make me mad. I don't think there's another Texas Tech guy. This is embarrassing. I can't even think of quarterbacks that have played. Wisconsin's only had Russell Wilson, unless I'm missing somebody. Peyton.
But you could
just give it to me.
Could count Russell as another school too, but
yeah. But Philip Rivers never got
there. Doesn't matter. You waving the white flag?
I'm waving it.
Delaware, Rich Gannon, and Joe.
Oh my gosh! I literally said Delaware, and I didn't
know. I'm like, oh, he just said Delaware. He's gonna figure it out. Yeah. In Boston College with Matt Ryan and Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh yeah, I'm okay with waving the white flag there. I wouldn't have gotten either of those.
That's a tough.
That was tough. That was a really good question, though.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Hopefully, we'll have some more to talk about because it's getting that time of year. That,
rambling time.
Yep. Have a great week, everybody.